Morning. All right, I hope you brought your Bibles. I'm not going to be jumping around a bunch of different places, but it does help to have one in front of you. Actually, first things first, would you pray with me? Because can't nothing really get done without it. Lord, we worship you. As you bring us more and more under your fold, under your wings, we praise you for your character, for your love, and for your truth. You didn't have to do any of this. But you went to lengths that we will never be able to understand to bring us back to you. And for that, we will forever be grateful. As long as your Spirit is there to uphold us. Thank you for enabling us to praise you more and more, in more and more truth, and in more and more love. And as we're humbled by even not being able to do that on our own, we're so grateful. Please help our praise and worship to be a blessing to you for the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, you know me. I can't seem to get up here without going to the dictionary. I don't have a PowerPoint slide or anything like that, but when I was initially asked to speak about worship, you know, obviously the first thing I did was check Strong's, you know, the Greek and Hebrew concordance that they used for the King James. And I was surprised to find that in the Old Testament especially, not so much in the New, but in the Old Testament, they have different words for praise and worship. And I was really surprised to find that out, but we're going to be mainly focusing on the word that's usually translated as worship or obeisance in some places. The Hebrew word is shaka, and as much as I love the King James, it is not a perfect translation. And in my studying for this, what that word means and how it's translated and how it's used, kind of showcased one of those ways. In the King James and other translations, but I'll stick to the one that I'm most familiar with. Whenever the translators came across the word shaka and it was directed towards God, they translated it as worship. But any time that the word was used towards a person, they translated it as obeisance or honor or some other such word. But from a Hebraic perspective, the meaning of the word shaka did not have a primarily religious one the way that the word worship does for us today. I'm not going to take you through it because, you know, I love you guys too much. But if you go through and look at all of the different times that this word is used in the context and what it is that people are doing, it is perfectly appropriate to do this towards the Lord. There are times that Israel came together specifically, or they would all gather before the tabernacle or the temple and they would shaka. They would literally bow down. They would put themselves low. They would they would eat dirt. And it was a literal physical overt subjection to the object of their worship. And I think that's very much in line with what we would expect to see about it today. But there are also times that this same word is used talking about the king. And it was literally just acknowledging his authority. It was acknowledging the authority of his reign, or God's having anointed him as king over Israel. They recognize that. And they put themselves low in relationship to him as a recognition that this is appropriate, that this is right. And I can understand the reason for the separation between the two different ways that it's translated, because obviously in English we don't have a word that is appropriate to mean both. But turn with me to Genesis 22. And we're only going to stop here just for a quick second. So Genesis 22, put a finger there. Ooh, too far. Everybody there? Yeah. Okay, put a finger in Genesis 22, and then go to Ezekiel chapter 40. It's a little more than halfway through the Bible. If you've hit Daniel, you've gone too far. Ezekiel chapter 40, yes. And I've been meeting with this young man, and there were a couple subjects that kept on popping up, and some things that I was talking about that he didn't really have much reference for, so we just reread the last eight chapters of Ezekiel, 40 through 48, and there's a lot there. But for context, for anybody who hasn't gone through it themselves, I really recommend it. There's a lot there that you're not going to know what to do with, and we're probably not going to know right up until the end, but it seems to be describing times in the millennial reign of Christ, when Christ has returned to the earth and before the great white throne judgment, where this at the time that the saints will be living and ruling with him from the New Jerusalem. And there, the chapter 40 through 42 it gives this exhaustive list of dimensions and provisions and features and statues and for the third temple that's supposed to be there, that the I believe it's supposed to be outside of the city proper, but that's neither here nor there, but just for context, that's what we're kind of jumping into the middle to. Go to Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 40, or let's start in verse 39. And the reason I'm bringing you guys here is that in the Old Testament, especially, the idea of worship and the act of singing or praise, there are times that they are happening at the same time, even though they're technically different actions. Praise and worship can be something that is you can use to facilitate worship, while worship is the actual bowing down, or even spiritually, like recognizing that, you know, we're here and God is here forever. But starting in chapter 40, verse 39, reading from the King James again, it said, "In the porch of the gate were two tables on this side and two tables on that side, to slay thereon the burnt offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering. And at the side without, as one goeth up to the entry of the north gate, were two tables, and on the other side, which was at the porch of the gate, were two tables. Four tables were on this side, and four tables on that side, by the side of the gate. Eight tables, whereupon they slew their sacrifices. And the four tables were of hewn stone for the burnt offering, of a cubit and a half long and a cubit and a half broad, and one cubit high, whereupon they also laid the instruments wherewith they slew the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And within were hooks and a hand broad fastened round about, and upon the tables was the flesh of the offering." And it goes on to give more provisions for the places for singers and things like that, but I don't really come before you with this great theological truth so much as, you know, my understanding was that Christ did away with the temple sacrifices, period. Like, he was the point of the entire sacrificial system. And when I was reading this in Ezekiel, you know, I came to this point where I was like, I thought that wasn't done anymore. But there's, not just here, there's provisions for the, to reconsecrate the priests. There are specifically people who are supposed to teach people how to observe, how to do things lawfully according to God's law, and like all of these provisions for things that I thought were done away with. But if this is prophecy, then I honestly don't know what to do with that. And I'm not going to pretend like I've wrestled that all out, but that's really not the conclusion is not the point of why I mention this. The important thing, I believe, when you're reading the Bible and you come across something that you don't know where to put it, is you have a choice. And that's whether or not, when I come to something that I do not understand, am I willing to shaka? Am I willing to worship the Lord? Am I willing to lower myself down and raise Him up, even if I don't understand? Now, I could be reading this wrong. This could be purely allegorical, like some people try to say that it is. But regardless of what it is, if the Lord told me that that was how He wanted me to worship Him, if that's how He wanted me to praise Him, would that be a deal breaker for me? Because it didn't fit my understanding of the way that that's appropriate. Now, I'm obviously not advocating for going out and slaughtering animals in our backyards or anything like that, but, you know, if I read that, do I have the kind of attitude towards the Lord where it's, you know, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it, then I don't really need to know, because obviously it hasn't happened yet. So when we have a chance, when we come to these things, I want to encourage you that if you're going to approach the Lord with a spirit of worship, it is not just with a desire to understand or desire to enjoy the Lord's presence, even though that's certainly going to happen. Be willing to bring yourself low. And there's so much there that I admittedly am not very good at. But just for a little bit of context, you still got your finger in Genesis 22. I'll flip back there now. There we go. We'll start in verse 3. It says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood of the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you." Now the reason I brought us here is that word worship in the tail end of verse 5, that word is shaka. That is literally what it's talking about. So in this instance, you have this snapshot of Christ's sacrifice. I'm not going to go into it because I'm definitely going for my 10 minutes, but this is in that act, in that submission, you have this perfect snapshot of what the Lord desires as far as worship, what we're willing to do. He believed God. He was just going to do it. It says elsewhere that he believed that the Lord was capable of bringing his son back to life, and that he was going to, even if it didn't make any sense, he was going to obey what the Lord said, bar none. And that's my prayer for us, Fairhaven. That no matter what we come up against, no matter what we are struggling with, we can always approach the Lord in a spirit of worship. Thank you.